Blog Talk Radio.
Are you driven by a passion to discover your divine destiny, ready to discover your purpose and fulfill your God-given potential? You can at Church on the Mall, the Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Sundays at 9 a.m. Rediscover the kingdom and discover your purpose, identity, and divine destiny. For more information, call 267-357-9816. The kingdom of God is now eternal, and it's your time. Don't miss your moment. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God will supply your needs. See you at Church on the Mall this Sunday at 9 a.m. The Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Cheltenham Avenue and Washington Lane. It's your time for change. For more information, call 267-357-9816.
This is Dr. Lynn Robinson, and I approve this message.
This message paid for by the faithful supporters of Kingdom Vision Ministries International, the Kingdom Church on the Mall. Live the kingdom-driven life now.
Good morning, good day. It's me, your brother, Brother Siaka. Welcome back to Kingdom Reality. Let's pray and get into the Word. Father God, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. Thank you, Father. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for everyone that are listening to me today, Father. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you did not, that you led them here on purpose, that they are not here by accident, but they are here to receive your truth. They are here not to become real smart, but they are here to receive your truth, to be transformed from the inside out, that Christ will be formed in them, that they will have the truth of your word, that they will be able to live the life, and that they will also be able to teach your truth. Father, I thank you, and I ask, O Lord, that you would open up the ears, O Lord, the spiritual ears and the spiritual eyes of those who are listening and those who are in the spirit seeing your reality. Prepare their hearts, O Lord, that they may receive your word today in the name of Jesus. And, Father, again, I thank you, Lord God. Have your way, Daddy. Speak through me, Lord God, because I am the speaker. But your Holy Spirit is the teacher. But your Holy Spirit also teaches me as you speak through my mouth. Let your will be done today, this morning, Daddy. And we bless you. We honor you. We acknowledge you, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge you. And Father, we acknowledge you. Have your way today. Not our will, but let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I don't remember exactly when I had this thought, but it was one of these days from last week. I woke up in the morning, but I was laying down in bed, and I had a vision. I seen myself in a meeting. Or actually, I see myself being interviewed by another person. And as I see myself being interviewed by this person asked me about what I believe. I can't remember the exact word that this person said, but this person asked me about something based on what I believe or what I'm standing for or what's my purpose and what is the reason why I teach what I teach, I preach what I preach. And as this person was asking me this question, this is what came up to my spirit. And I'm telling you, it's like, it is something that I wrote down afterwards, and I'm very surprised. But I know, of course, it's the Holy Spirit that leads me and helped me to write down what I wrote. But I knew it was God that had placed something in me to give out this truth, and this is what I'm going to be giving today. I'm not sure if I'll be able to give everything in one punch, but if so, It would be maybe next week we'll finish up on this, or the following week of that next week. But this is what I see myself saying. In the scriptures we start off with would be, and before I say this, I hope everybody will have your pencils or something to write with ready, and a notepad or a notebook, piece of paper. Get ready to write down scriptures, because I will be giving out scriptures. And also certain things that I say is a very good idea that you take notes, because it is said that a person is able to remember more than a person. A person who is able to remember more is that person who is taking notes as a teacher is teaching. And that person is able to remember more than a person who just sit down and listen. So, you know, this is a good idea for you to, you know, take notes. Amen? We are called. Let me start off with the scriptures. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Hallelujah. Lord, I bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. You are wonderful, Lord God. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 4. Let me put my glasses on. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. It says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, let me give you the backdrop of this verse. In Matthew chapter 4, this is where Jesus, right after he was baptized in the water by John, who baptized, Jesus was led, according to verse 1, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And who's that Spirit? That Spirit is the Spirit of God. So Jesus was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, to be tried, to be tested. And, of course, during those times, the enemy was questioning Jesus, you know, testing him. One part was the tempter. He asked Jesus about if you really, or he tried to make Jesus to do something. Let me say it like that. And he's saying, if you could really, if you're really the Son of God, then command these stones to be bread. You know, and then Jesus responded, "It is not written." It is written. I mean. He responded, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The devil took him to a pinnacle of a temple, and this is what he said to him. I'm just reading through. He said, "And if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for the cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." So even the enemy knows certain scripture. He maybe didn't know or didn't understand it, but he knew the wordings, and he tried to use the wordings against Jesus. But Jesus responded and said this: "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So then Satan, I'm gonna take my time right here. Verse 8, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, it said, "Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. This is what Satan's saying. So he's saying that he will give all these kingdoms of this world and the glory of them to Jesus if Jesus would bow down and worship Satan. This is what Jesus said. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt not worship, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. See, the devil, during those times, all these kingdoms that was in, that's in this world, all the glory of these kingdoms that's in this world, Satan had a great influence in them. Yes, Satan had a great influence in them. This was possible for Satan to have a great influence in this world, and it's possible for Satan to have this great influence in this world because of what happened all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, you will actually see the original order of God. You will actually see the original idea that God had for man and woman, for all of mankind. The main focus of what God has purposed for mankind, you will see it. God has made us in his image, according to his likeness. He blessed us to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, to subdue it, and also to have dominion. That word dominion, the Greek word is rada, and it means governing rule. It's another word for kingdom. So in other words, we had governing rule. We had the authority. We had that dominion. We had kingdom. Man and woman, to rule together, not over each other, but to rule together with God Almighty, to advance his order in this earth, to colonize earth with the culture of heaven. But what took place is that Adam forfeited this authority. And he did that by going against what Daddy told him not to do. To bite of the fruit that was in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge, the tree of good, the tree that had the knowledge of good and evil. And what took place is that it was the deceiver, Satan himself, who deceived Eve, and then Eve gave the fruit to Adam. So in that arena, Satan was able to bring a deception. And he lied. Right of this fruit, you will be more like God. And the lie, this is the trick of the enemy. It's that, did you know that we was already like God? And the evidence of that is that God himself made us in his image according to his likeness. So for Satan to even say that if you bite of this fruit, you become more like God, that was a complete lie. But Eve and Adam fell for it. Adam bit the fruit. I have to say from this standpoint, Adam bit the fruit. And when Adam bit the fruit, God came down searching for Adam and Eve. And he was looking towards Adam and telling and asking Adam, or actually he was calling for them. He said he was saying, Adam, where are you? I'm paraphrasing. And now you can go back and check it out yourself. This is all in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. concerning with the original order of God. And in Genesis chapter 3 is where sin came into the world. So right now I'm speaking based on Genesis chapter 3, where everybody know it as the fall of man. I like to say this, because this is what really took place. It was the independency of mankind declared against God. Mankind declared independence away from the kingdom of God. Mankind declared independence away from the kingdom of heaven. And it all happened right in the midst of God asking Adam. Yes, it did. It took place right there when Adam disobeyed God, Adam and Eve. But you know, Adam and Eve, they could have repented. But even so, they didn't. What did they do? Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the devil. And God cursed all of them. The devil already had a time for destruction. But Adam and Eve, God spoke to them. God talked to them. Gave them a chance to repent. So what took place is that they got cursed. And that curse was, one of it definitely is not spoken of, but this is what took place. That the dominion, the authority that God has given them to rule and reign with him, was taken away, was taken. I gotta get that word correct. Was taken away. Not taken, that's not a word. Taken away. So the kingdom, the dominion, the authority that Adam and Eve had was taken away. And during that time, the kingdom of God left earth. The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is God's governing authority, his rulership and right to rule. It's his dominion. Another meaning for it is the very act of him ruling in the lives of those who believe. This is what Adam and Eve actually declared independence away from and gave the opportunity to Satan to be able to influence their culture, to influence them, and to influence this world that was supposed to be made and be inhabited for mankind. And this is where Satan was able to influence this world with his culture. And his culture is all about having independence away from the culture of God. His culture is all about having independence away from God's governing authority. There's no life in that. So this is where Satan was actually somewhat able to say this. And of course, you know, he is a liar regardless. But he was able to say this. Again, the devil, I'm reading from verse 8. It says, again, the devil taketh Jesus up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, in verse 9, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Satan is saying that I will give this all to you, all to Jesus, if you bow down and worship me. This is what Satan is saying to Jesus. That even though Satan had a great influence in this worldly world, God is still Lord. I can also go on to saying this, Jesus is still Lord. And this is what Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt not, thou, It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I went all through that because I wanted to point out this reality. Jesus, he came back into this earth right after he was tempted. Right after he was tempted, there's a specific message that he preached. The message that he preached is in verse 17. It says, from that time, anything that he said, the very first thing that he said out of his preaching, for when he went forth to start his ministry, this is the very first thing that he said. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, they are both speaking about the atmosphere which God ruled and reigned. It's both speaking about the spirit which God ruled and reigned. It's both speaking about the governing authority of God, both speaking about the authority of God, the rulership of God. Both is speaking about God actively ruling in those who believe. Jesus is saying, repent. And that word repent also means to rethink, to turn away from your sins. Everybody know that. But then it also means to change your thinking. So we're changing our thinking. We're changing our direction. We're turning away from our sins, and we're turning back to what God has originally ordained for mankind. What did God originally ordain for mankind? You will find that in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. Not Genesis chapter 3. Because that is where mankind declared independence from the order of God. But we are, Jesus came and saying, repent. He's saying, rethink, turn back, go back. You know that the word R-E is a prefix word. It's always used to mean to go back to. So Jesus is saying, go back to what God has originally ordained for mankind. And you will find that in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. You see how everything connect right there? So what was in that Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2? The kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is saying, repent. Present. That is what that word at hand means. It has arrived. It's back. Is now present in the earth, just like it was in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. This is the message of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom of God. This is the good news. Daddy had brought his kingdom back to the earth. It's a kingdom that he has given to the Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, the anointed King. He gave Jesus a kingdom to bring back into the earth. And this is the kingdom for all of those who are born again. This is the kingdom that has entered into us. And also, the kingdom covers this whole earth. The kingdom of God is present there. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. The kingdom covers this earth. The kingdom is all around everybody. Look at this, Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. And it reads, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. So the Pharisees asking Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God does not come in a way that you can see with your physical eye. Verse 21 says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Guess what? Did you know what Jesus was really saying here? See, word studies is very important. Like even when I was going over with Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, you have to look up the words. You have to look up the word kingdom. I did not make this up. You have to look up the word kingdom. You have to look up the word repent. You have to look up the word is at hand. Then you will see exactly if I'm lying or not. For the kingdom of God is now present. The kingdom of God has arrived. Now, in this verse 21 in chapter 17 of the book of Luke, it says this, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That word within you does not mean within you. He was talking to, one thing is this, you can look at, he was talking to the Pharisees who did not believe. So how can the kingdom of God be in them? That's one thing to think about. That word within was really the original translation is, and you miss. So Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is in your midst. Because Jesus, being the one who is carrying the kingdom of God, the governing authority of God, he's standing in the midst of them. And him carrying the kingdom also was in their midst. It wasn't in them, but it was all around them because Jesus was right there. Now Jesus, the Christ, he's living in those who are born again through the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent forth the Holy Spirit in this world. The Holy Spirit is hovering over this whole earth. The Holy Spirit has returned. Check this out. Write the scripture down. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. I'm going to go there real quick. Romans chapter 14, verse 17, and it says this. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, it's not based on dietary laws, if you read in context. But righteousness, this is what Paul, speaking to the Romans, is saying. He's saying, but righteousness and peace and joy in where? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in us and all around us. God is omnipresent. So the Holy Ghost is the embodiment of the kingdom of God. And the attributes of the kingdom of God is righteousness, God's righteousness. His way of doing and being and thinking right. Having nothing broken and being completed. And having a sound mind, peace. And joy in the Holy Ghost, the joy of the Lord. So these three elements are the results of us being submitted. I got to say like this. These three elements are the results that comes to us as we are submitted to God's kingdom, as we are submitted to God's governing authority, his rulership. And this is where we can see this definition of it, a reality. The very act of God ruling in our life. All right. So in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is in the midst of the Pharisee, because the kingdom of God, he was the one carrying it. Let's go to another scripture, Mark chapter 1, verse 14 through 15. Another scripture that says, this is a scripture Let me just read it. Verse 14 says this. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom of God. Verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. See that? So the time is fulfilled. The time. And the kingdom of God is at hand. That phrase, kingdom of God, it means the same thing as the kingdom of heaven. In the book of Matthew, you will see a lot of times that Matthew is used the word kingdom of heaven. Mark, Luke, and John used the term kingdom of God. They both mean the same thing. In fact, there's an area in the book of Matthew where Matthew actually used the word, the phrase kingdom of God. There is no difference between the two. They both mean the same. Both is talking about the kingdom, the governing rule that is in heaven, that the Father in heaven is now has extended his kingdom in this earth through his son Jesus and through the Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit, is at hand, now has arrived, is now present. Repent, change your thinking. Change your direction. Turn back to what God has originally ordained for mankind and believe this gospel. Believe the gospel. Believe the good news. All right? We are called or looked upon as a kingdom cult because we preach the kingdom of God is present now. And then those are the verses that I gave you. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Luke chapter 17, 20 to 21, Mark chapter 1, verse 14 through 15. There's more scripture. You have to do your study. So we preach that the kingdom of God is present now, just as well as it is yet to come. We are not a cult. But we are a kingdom church, not the building, but the born-again believers, because we acknowledge another king in this world, Jesus, our king. Look at the book of John. Let's see if I still got time. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Look at the book of John, John chapter 18, verse 37. John chapter 18, verse 37, it says this. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. I want to read verse 36. I want to clear something out here. Verse 36 says this. Jesus answered, let me start off with verse 35. Okay, verse 34. Verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saith, thou this thing of thyself, or did other tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servant fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. God's kingdom, Jesus' kingdom, is not from this world. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. But he never said that his kingdom was not in it. Jesus came to the earth with a kingdom that is from heaven. Jesus came into the earth with a kingdom that is not of this world, but is in this world. Isn't there a scripture that says that we are in the world, but not of the world? Another thing I want to point out is this, is that Jesus, yes, was the king, the Christ, the anointed king of the Jews. But that didn't mean that he was only going to be king of the Jews only that nation. Because Jesus came with the kingdom that was available to all mankind. God was not focusing just on the Jews alone. God was focusing on all of mankind to bring all people back into the reality of his original order. To bring back everybody back to what was established in the beginning, in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. All right. Verse 37, so it says here, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Let's look at another scripture. Mark chapter 1, verse 38. Mark chapter 1, verse 38. So Jesus is a right now king. The thing is that there was a time where we used to look at Jesus only as a soon coming king. The whole church world, we looked at Jesus as is a soon coming king. We never did look at Jesus as a right now king. We may say from a standpoint of how people look at faith, speak those things that be not as though they were, as though they are. So we say, yes, Jesus is our king. Then really in our heart, subconsciously, we say, well, Jesus is not really our king, but we just, you know, speaking those things that be not as though they were. Look. That got to stop. Because just that idea of seeing Jesus or pushing Jesus as a far-off king and not seeing him as a right-now king, this is one of the reasons why we have so much division in the body. This is the reason why there's so many... there's a lot of things I can say about that, but I'm going to just leave it like this. There's so many... confusion in the church. And when I say church, I mean the whole church world. Let's look at the book of Mark. And let me say this. So, us being in the church as a whole, I'm speaking in general, us being in the church as a whole, not talk about us within this four walls. Not talk about our Pacific Fellowship that's in showing him more. I'm talking about the church, the people, the body of Christ that's supposed to have Jesus as the head. We misunderstood our own king, only seeing him as the Savior. He is the Savior, but he is the king that saves. You can write that down too. He is not only a savior, but he is the king that saves. And when a king, I'm talking about Jesus, when he saved us, he did not save us to still roam around in this world without order. But he saved us, bringing us into the order. What is that order? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the order of God. The order of God is the law of God. So with that being said, we got born again not to go to heaven. That's not the purpose for us to be born again. But for us to be born again is to be restored back into the order that is present now. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 1, verse 38 says this. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. What was Jesus preaching? Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is now present. For therefore came I forth. You see the connection? So he's saying to his disciple, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. So Jesus came forth to bring forth this kingdom, to bring forth this government that he had upon his shoulder within himself, and he came forth to preach about this kingdom that he had. Where did I get that idea of the government being on his shoulder? I write this scripture down too. Isaiah chapter 9. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Daddy. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 says, and this is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, that word government is another word for kingdom. So the government, the kingdom of God, not talking about the government of this world, it's talking about the government of God, shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. That word counselor is another word for the Holy Spirit. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, it's talking about the Father, the Prince of Peace, meaning the ruler of peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice. Both of those terms are terms of righteousness. So they both mean righteousness. So Jesus, according to this prophecy of Isaiah that was given to him from the Father, Jesus shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You can also see the Trinity right there, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in verse 7, it says this, basically saying that of this increase of his government, of this kingdom and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice. Did you know that this kingdom has been established? This kingdom has been ordered and established according to the righteousness of God. I'm talking about the kingdom of God that is present now. From henceforth, even forever. So it's now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, meaning that God will give it his all to make sure that this is performed. He gave it his all to make sure that everything that he said will be established. For it is his word that goes forth. It shall not return to him void, but it shall accomplish everything that pleases him. Remember Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and 11? It's his word that goes forth. It shall not return to him void, but it shall accomplish everything that pleases him.
And this is the word and the order that God the Father has given the Son to come into this earth with the kingdom of God and preaching the specific message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is now present. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus did not talk about the soon coming kingdom. What I am saying is that Jesus preached about the right now present kingdom. So, yes, you're going to see areas in the in this Bible, in the four gospels, the gospel of according to Mark, the gospel according to Matthew, the gospel according to John and Luke. You're going to see that Jesus talk about the right now present kingdom, and he also talks about the soon coming kingdom. But let's keep on talking about the right now present kingdom. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. I want you to look at this. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says this. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That word power, all right, let me say this. This is what took place after the cross. This is Jesus saying that he have all power. That word power means authority. What I'm going to do next week as the Lord leads me, this is what I want to do, but if Daddy want me to do anything else, you know, not my will, but let his will be done. But what I want to do next week is all those areas where I was talking about kingdom, where I was talking about also that word that in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 21, where it says, within you, I'm going to show you the meanings. I'm going to give you the Greek word for these words that was used. And I will give you the definition. I will make sure I do that. And because it's very important to do word search. Our English wording is different from the wording of Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic. So it's very important for you to do your word studies also, so you can really see exactly what Jesus was saying. And you will also see that I'm not lying when I say that the kingdom of God is now present. So this word power is actually another word for authority. It's another word for kingdom. So Jesus is saying right here, and specifically he's saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's saying that the authority, that all authority was given to him in heaven and in earth. So even in this earth, Jesus has all authority. His kingdom is established in this earth today. And it is us that he's using to advance this kingdom. Let me bring some clarity to this. We are not here trying to take over the world, because it's already established according to God's word the way that he wants to do things. So the idea of us trying to have dominion in the sense of trying to take over the world by force, no. Our responsibility is to go forth to preach the message of the kingdom of God and that Jesus saves, bringing as many as we can into this reality, getting people born again, so they too can also be brought back into the original order of God. And it's by choice. The kingdom of God is available to all men in this world, to all men and women in this world, to all mankind. But it's up to those and all of us. It's up to us to actually say yes to God's will, to say yes to his order, to say yes, I believe in your kingdom, and I want your kingdom. I want you to rule and reign in me daily. Let me give you just one more scripture. Jesus is a king. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. Let me read verse 1. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Write this note there. You cannot be a king without a kingdom. Another definition for the word kingdom is a king who has influenced a domain, or a king who has influenced a territory. So another aspect of this word kingdom is that when a king enter into a territory and colonize it, or enter into a territory and influence that territory, they make that territory their kingdom. So Jesus, wherever area that Jesus is able to influence in us, there is where the kingdom of God is. If Jesus is able to influence you, Jesus will manifest his rulership over you, in you, and through you. And you will see that evidence come to reality by these three elements: righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? All within the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We are a kingdom church. A kingdom church does not mean, it's not a cliche. Let me say this. The word kingdom is not a cliche. We have kingdom terminology, but the definition, the meaning of that word kingdom is not really behind that the word. Then it's only a cliche. What's a cliche? A cliche is just a word that a person use, you know, very, very weakly. Or there's no meaning behind the word. It's just a word that's being used just for talk. Just for the purpose of talking. That word kingdom is not a cliche. It's God's governing rule. And us being the church, we are the called out one, the ecclesia. Okay, there go a Greek word that I do remember. Ecclesia. That word kingdom, the Greek word for kingdom is basileia. That means God's governing rule, his reign. So basileia, ecclesia. The governing rule, the church, the called out ones of God's governing rule. God bless you. There's so much more that I have here on this paper, and there's more coming as Daddy lead me in the study of all these things that he has given me during that time. And I pray that it bless you. I pray that you was able to receive something. And I know that this, for some of you, this is something that you have already heard before. But repetition is, I like to say, repetition is the mother of learning. God bless you. You have a wonderful day. And I'll see you next week.